This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Hi, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Coming to you live from the Bill Ford Tough Studio. Yankees keep this World Series going. The bats do wake up. You get a lot of contributions from the bottom of the lineup. Finally, Austin Wells hitting the snot out of the baseball. The Anthony Volpe Grand Slam. Even Aaron Judge late in the game had an RBI single. So good to see. And now you've got Gerrit Cole, who a lot of people, including me, thought it should have been pitching last night. But now that you didn't use Gerrit Cole last night, now you got him on full rest in a game five to keep this thing going against Jack Flaherty. So the Yankee fans get one more time to see this team live at Yankee Stadium, hopefully cheer them on to a victory and send them back to L.A. for a game six. I was also happy for my friend who needed a game five to make $20,000 off of the tickets that he put up on the secondary market. So even though he's a big Yankee fan, I think he's probably pretty happy that he's not going to the game and he's got those $20,000.
And the other guy got the roof. So that we're
and
all
the other
happy
guy
about
got the roof.
That's the key.
Right.
The roof is on fire. But I will say this. Dave Roberts didn't use any of his high leverage arms last night. Those are guys that, you know, that he throws out there when, if they win, they win. If they don't win, it's not, you know, it's okay. It's fine. They just now are totally set up for the rest of the way here, depending on how far it goes. And they'll have all their high leverage arms ready to rock and roll tonight. And, you know, I wonder how Flaherty's going to pitch. If he pitches like he pitched at Citi Field, Yankees got a chance to extend this thing. And it's just chip away, baby. Just protect your home field. Do not let them celebrate on your home field.
Yeah, I was watching, I don't know where it was, maybe MLB Network, but I was watching the end of the game four of that 2004 ALCS where the Yankees were up 3-2 in the ninth. Mariano's on the mound. You know, Dave Roberts comes in.
Yep.
Steals the base. You know, and you're just watching the Yankee fan and the Red Sox fan that are in the crowds. And you know, it's just like, just knowing what was about to happen, you know, and the Yankees so close to winning that game. Like, it takes so much to pull off a feat.
It was like game seven of the 2001 World Series.
Yeah, exactly. But the difference was, like, you know, you thought, okay, it's over. Even if they come back and win this game, the series is still over. And that's sort of what you feel like with the Yankees and the Dodgers. And the series is still over. But, you know, if the Yankees come out and score a bunch of runs again, it's just ball starts rolling. Like, wait a second here. Wait a second. So I hope it goes back to L.A. I hope we have a little bit more fun with this World Series because, you know, last outside of game one, which was a horrible outcome for the Yankees, those other two games were just, they were nothing games.
They were just, you kind of felt like the Dodgers were in charge. They were in control. And, you know, Verdugo hits the home run late, but it doesn't really matter, you know, because there was no way the Yankees were going to come back. But I just, they're doing a lot of this without Judge. And, you know, you got to, and I would say the Dodgers are doing the same thing without Ohtani, you know, and the bottom of the lineup came through yesterday. But again, you know, you got to take into account, you know, who was pitching for the Dodgers. You know, that's their bullpen game. That's the game where if they win it, like I said, great. If they don't, it's okay because now we're set up. Now we got all the guys that we need. Everybody has the rest that they needed to have.
They like punting those games, the Dodgers. They're like, hey, if we win, great, but if we don't,
that's
hey.
That's what I'm saying. That's what it really feels like. And the fact that they went up 3-0 even made it that much more of a relaxed. I don't want to say relaxed because, no, they're never relaxed, but it gave Dave Roberts an ability to breathe and just, you know, watch the game and let Nat go for as long as he could. You know, and then, you know, bring in Hudson, you know, whatever. He did, like, all the different things that they would have normally done during the regular season, but he did it without his high-leverage A-type relievers.
You think Hal went down and talked to Dave Roberts? He's like, listen, Dave, just give us just one game. We'd like that extra home game here. We could really use all three of these games at home. It'll help out the organization. Can you just toss us one?
Another $20 million. Are we another $20 million in the bank tonight?
At least, right?
At least, you would think.
Let's go to Jeff, who's in Huntington. What's going on, Jeff?
Good morning. Good morning, guys. I'm a 50-year Mets fan, and I'm not a Yankee hater in any way, shape, or form. But, you know, when I saw him hold on to that glove last night and the other, and pry it open, it felt like it was like a galvanizing moment. Like, this Yankee fan is not letting this series go. It was like, and I laughed like you also. I didn't know what I was seeing. But, I mean, I feel like it sparked the team. The team was like, oh, my God, they're not letting go. Why are we letting go?
Yeah, I don't know about that. I don't know about that, Jeff. But we found out that this Austin character is a hockey player. So that kind of gives me the understanding as to why he was so relentless.
Yeah, I was laughing. I thought it was funny. I'm glad no one got hurt. It definitely is not the right behavior. But I will say that I would be shocked if there was any player in that Yankee dugout that was watched that and was like, you know, we got to do it for those guys. Those guys aren't giving up.
If
we
anything,
can't give
those,
up.
Those players like Jerry feels about the whole thing. I bet you those players probably feel the same way, but they're not going to say that.
Well, yeah, of course. I mean, they don't want
players of other teams dealing with fans like that, and they certainly don't want guys like Mookie Betts, especially, who may be one of the most likable and respected guys in the entire league, to get hurt on a stupid play like that.
Let's go to Bull in Maple Shade. What's up, Bull?
Hey, good morning, guys. Before I get to my point, did I hear Recco say he canceled a haircut for today's golf? He actually pays somebody to give him that Eddie Munster-looking hairdo? But anyway.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess he pays somebody to do something, yeah.
I relocated to the armpit of the state, South Jersey, and my friends immediately were calling and texting me that this was criminal. He'd be in the Philly jail. This is worse than throwing snowballs at Santa. And if anything, they gave me one more day to at least still realize that my team's still in it and they're playing golf. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, if you are a Mets fan, if you are a Red Sox fan, and I saw actually a lot of reaction on X from people who were Philadelphia fans that I guess are self-conscious about everybody saying that they are the worst fan, the monster fan, and they've got no class, you know, saying that, hey, look at this. This is the worst thing in the world, and we're, you know, everybody says the worst fan in the world is in Philadelphia. Like, stop having such of this, like, in this complex. Like, just forget about it. Like, you know? Like, stop. This is not that big of a deal. Like, it's the Goomba grabber. His name's Austin Capobianco. He has those tickets. He's trying to help the team out. It was definitely not a classy move by any stretch of the imagination. But if you grew up around here and you were a baseball fan and you see that guy's face doing that and you can't have a little bit of a chuckle about it, yeah.
I could see Brandon Tierney doing that. Be like a junkyard dog down there, just going after the ball.
When he was younger, yes.
Okay, yeah, he's 50 now. So.
When he was younger, yeah,
I could see that.
I mean, he was a baseball player too. You know, like he. Let me get in there. Let me get that ball.
Look, he respects the game. He knows the game.
Yeah, I'm trying to find that because he's just on a run right now. BT, I was on a run too. Trust me, I was definitely on a run. Like I remember it was like also guys that I would support in sports. Like I'd be like, man, you know, like let's go, Kadarius Toney. This is my guy, Young Jokic.
I was like, I mean, you are supporting Sam Darnold.
Well, yeah, I did. Right now I'm okay. I'm talking about there was a stretch like a couple years ago.
Yeah, I know, but I'm just like in the middle of all this. I mean, you are, and Sam Darnold got off to a great start. Your team got off to a great start. So I felt like you were actually supporting the right guy.
Yeah. But there was a stretch there where every guy I supported was just, and I remember Steven Jackson, how much I love Steven Jackson. Next thing I know, he's out there with Farrakhan. I'm like, oh my God. I was like,
Can't win.
You know, I'm not supporting anybody anymore. Deontay Wilder was another one.
Yep.
And he got the crap kicked out of him and made every excuse in the book and acted like a total chump. It was like the stretcher, every guy. So, like, I know what Tierney's in right now. I know he's in that mode. It's like, I'm going to throw my support behind Zach Wilson. Yeah, it didn't work out. I'm going to throw my support. I'm going to say that Francisco Lindor should never hit left-handed again. Goes on his MVP run. And yesterday, as I'm taking a leak, I'm worried that Anthony Volpe's never going to be good ever again. Grand slam, Anthony Volpe! And he's in the stadium going nuts.
You know what? He needs to say that about Aaron Judge today.
Yeah, you know what? He's got the power now.
Now he does that. He has the mojo. He has the mojo power. Mix, yes.
Let's go to Matt down in Florida. What's going on, Matt?
Hey, guys. Good morning. How you doing?
All right, Matty. What's happening?
Oh, man. What a great game last night. Just a couple of things I wanted to talk about. That guy, the nickname, doesn't that sound like the next, like, American Horror Story Netflix special? That's great. The Goomba Grabber. Like, we got to get a special right away.
Yeah,
that's,
but and that nickname is not what they call him. It's what I said this morning. But,
well, I think you got to patent it, man. You got to patent it. That's phenomenal. Like, I can see that right after the Ted Bundy story on Netflix right there.
Yeah.
Boom, done. Wow.
Nice, Matt.
Number two. I know you guys mentioned it briefly about the pregame on Fox. Two things I just want to say about that. One, I never noticed how big Alex Rodriguez's ears were. Have you seen those things? They are tremendous. They're like dinner plates. But just the second thing is that, do you ever notice whenever he's talking or trying to make a point and they pan out and do like the full panel, the absolute just like disgust on Derek Jeter's face when Alex Rodriguez is talking? Like, he's looking the other way. Could care less. Like, I'm just waiting for him to just go off. I would have so much respect for it. Let's go cold on the mound tonight. This is a sit on my face spot. I am pumped on.
Matt, you are a great listener. That was a great call. Yep. Tremendous. Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt that Derek Jeter tolerates Alex Rodriguez.
Alex calls him Cap.
But they're so different. And I don't think he likes him. I think that's been the case since he became a Yankee, and maybe even prior to that. But they tolerate each other, and they're getting paid a lot of money there. And I think that he likes David Ortiz better than he likes A-Rod. But it's amazing. There was a point where, I mean, it was after, I think it might have been after game 5 of the NLCS, where Mr. and Mrs. Met came up to the Fox, on-field desk.
Okay.
And I saw it on X, and it said, this is Derek Jeter's literal hell. So it was Mr. and Mrs. Met.
And A-Rod.
And A-Rod and David Ortiz.
Yeah, yeah.
And he just gets up and walks away. It was amazing. He just got up and left.
He was in the middle of
everything he can't stand. The Mets, David Ortiz and the Red Sox, and freaking A-Rod. He's like, why am I doing this? I'm Derek Jeter.
The way, speaking of that, you know, Derek Jeter did a hell of a job throwing out the first pitch.
He did, and Paul O'Neill not so much.
Paul O'Neill, that was embarrassing.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, how old is Paul O'Neill? He's younger than me, right?
Probably. No, he might be right around the same age, actually. Didn't he play in Cincinnati when you were there?
Yeah,
he's 61.
Yeah, so he's 2 years younger than me.
Okay.
Man, I could throw a heater from pitcher's mound.
Yeah. I mean, the velocity wasn't really the problem. It was he sailed that thing.
Yeah, I know. It's like,
he's Joel jacked up.
You think that's what it was?
I think he was jacked up. You see how, strong he still is?
Oh, he looks great.
Shape?
Yeah, he looks great.
Like, he was just jacked up. Let's go to Joe in New Jersey. What's going on, Joe?
Hey, good morning, guys. Love the show. Listen to you often, usually on Odyssey. I was listening this morning as I got in the car. You talked about having the live show meeting after the show today. And I've had an idea in my head. It's a little off the wall. But I know Peter Schwartz is like the Larry David of your show. He wants something, makes your skin crawl, not a team player, and the fans that you have at your live show would like to see him. I had a crazy idea of maybe doing a Peter Schwartz lookalike contest so that he gets displaced in the show, somebody else takes his place, you don't owe him anything, and you put him in his place going forward because he just always has his hand out for something that should be part of a teamwork effort.
So you would like us to replace Peter Schwartz with someone who looks like Peter Schwartz but doesn't act like Peter Schwartz?
Exactly. So that fans get to see somebody that they'd like to see doused in some kind of ugly liquid other than him, and you owe him nothing.
Joe, I love that.
I've been on my mind for weeks now.
Joe, that is tremendous, and I love the fact you've been thinking about it for weeks. Yeah, I mean, we like Peter. I think that Peter is so unique, and the way he sees the world, the way he goes about his business, the way he finds himself in certain situations, that I don't think that getting an imposter Peter Schwartz is possible. I think that he's truly a one-of-a-kind individual, and that's why he has found his way into our world, and we enjoy him so much.
You know, Gio and I had a meeting yesterday, private meeting.
Yeah.
Because we like to have meetings, and like to keep them short.
Without a doubt.
But we were talking about, you know, the family that we have here.
Yep, indeed.
And we do have a family, and we have an extended family members. Mm-hmm. CeeLo would be one of those guys.
Sure.
Peter Schwartz is like darkness.
He's there,
but he's there. He's a part of our family. And we like to keep that way, right?
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah, I mean.
It's our guys.
He is. But he's our, and we've brought him to the masses. Like, I think he thinks he's bringing himself to the masses, but.
Well, his personality and all the things that he does, you know, some people really, really like Peter, and some people are turned off by the fact that he tries to get free stuff. So, you know, but people react to him. They have a take on him. He means something to them. I mean, we've had several calls of what to do with Peter Schwartz at the live show, and they'll react and post things on X to him. And the only thing that I think he's more beloved by our fan base than not.
Yeah, I'm 100% with you on that.
And I think that. And when he says stuff like, oh, this guy said something mean to me on X, I'm like, Peter, forget about that. Think about the live show, how many pictures you took with people, how many people were excited to see you.
You're a celebrity.
I mean, you send Peter Schwartz out into the live show audience. Oh. I mean, you want to talk about throwing red meat to the base.
That's what that is, right?
That's
there.
Exactly what that is. I mean, you should see. I mean, in Eddie, that's Eddie times 10. When Eddie goes hangs with the people before the live show, that's even more of an experience, and the fans love it. So it's great. All right, this one quickly. Kevin in Oakland, what's going on, Kevin?
Hey, what's going on, boys? Nice job as always. Peter didn't get up because, like, Mr. and Mrs. Matt were there. He saw, Big Poppy saw them over there, and what he started to say was like some sexual things that he would, or it was insinuating sexual things with Mrs. Matt. So Jeter was basically, I had enough of this crap. I'm getting out of here before, you know, I get in trouble or associated with it.
Yeah, you know what? He's smart like that, Kevin. Yeah. And I mean, it's hard to look at Mrs. Matt and not think dirty things. You know, it really is. She's got that big round butt. It's just, it is tough. I mean, there's no two ways about it. She's thick with a double C, man.
Okay,
she is. Right. Everybody knows it. Everybody's seen it. It's hard.
I mean, do we know who it is?
We don't know who it is. I'm just. It's Mrs. Met. I don't know who's actually in there. It's padding. It's not the.
Oh, it's padding.
It's not.
You sure, it's padding.
It's positive. It's padding.
Bring your ass.
It's padding. So it's okay. Not. It's not the person that I'm talking about that's in the costume. That's not their ass that I'm talking about. They've made this padded, thick Mrs. Met ass.
Does Mr. Met have any padding anywhere?
No.
To show some thickness?
No.
No.
And I think that's also like. Because his pants fit a little looser, and he's just sort of like walking around like a normal guy. And then next to Mrs. Matt, it's tight. You know, it's tight around the buttocks.
Remember, we went to the game this year.
Mm-hmm.
Did and Mr. and Mrs. Matt came to the box.
Yeah,
I don't remember that.
Oh, I do. I mean,
oh, you do.
Let me see your ass. I don't know how you don't, man. I mean, it is obvious.
Maybe I wasn't paying attention. I
mean, it is obvious, and Big Poppy knows it. I mean, everybody knows it. I mean, she's, as they say, thicker than a snicker. Boomerang Geo on the Fan at CBS Sports.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Hi, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. We got Phil Simms joining us to talk some football at 8 a.m. in the Simms Spotlight. Right now, it's Jerry Recco and another update. What's up, Jerry?
We're brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us. Also brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. The Yankees were, they had hit sticks out last night as they beat the Dodgers in Game 4 of the World Series.
Here's the 1-1 to Glaber. A fly ball to deep right. Betts going back. That ball is gone! It's Glaber Day. He hits a three-run home run to blow this game apart.
Now,
and like a good Glaber, Torres is there.
John,
is
it, right? is it me or does John not sound healthy?
Well, sounds sick. Yeah, he sounds like he's got a cold and he's dealing with that with his voice. Which,
I mean, he's 86
stinks.
Years old and he's got a cold.
And really, he should not be making another cross-country flight if he's not feeling well. So the Yankees got to do him a favor and bow out.
Now, how serious are you being right now? Like, are you just being, like, hateful Yankee Eddie, or do you actually think that there's a chance that John Sterling's going to die on the flight to L.A.?
Well, I think he's getting up there, and he's not feeling well, and that cross-country flight is stressful.
How did you get that John was going to die on a cross-country flight out of that?
Well, it's kind of like what he was hinting at. That's what he was hinting at. What do you mean, how did I get it? I mean, he really shouldn't be taking a cross-country flight, you know, if he's sick.
Well, you get the whole team sick.
That's not what he meant.
Oh, okay. I mean, it could have been a number. Is that what you meant?
No.
All right, so you guys are jumping to conclusions.
I didn't mean that getting him sick. I meant, like, you know, it's you know, he's at high risk.
See?
That's what he meant.
That's what he meant.
So you're thinking that he could, I can't believe we're talking about this, but you're thinking that there's a chance that if the Yankees win and they got to go back to L.A., that could be a little bit too strenuous for John?
For sure, absolutely.
See, I read that right.
I guess you did. I'm sorry. I apologize. My mistake.
That's a little bit of Aaron Eddie there. You know, that doom-scrolling disaster, like, you know, we were 2 inches away from a headless funeral type stuff. You know? That's where that's coming from.
Yeah.
Or like when Radmus called up, it goes, man, you know, it's funny, you were talking about hoarders. My mother-in-law's got like 15 umbrellas in her house. And Boomer goes, oh, speaking of hoarders, did you see they found this mummified corpse? So, like, that's what Eddie did there. You know, you just went, hey, does John have a cold? And we're like, yeah, he's got a cold. Hey, he should not go across country with that cold. You get on a plane very strenuous. Next thing you know, should have left it up to the bury.
Definitely a patch guy, though.
Ooh.
Here's a question, though.
Yeah.
If he can't make it, which guy gets to go in his place? That's a tough one.
You can sit on my face.
I think you have to have Ricky do it, and whoever was filling in on the Spanish side during when Ricky was doing those games does that. That's what I think you have to do.
Would make sense.
Or just let Dave Simms start early.
They hired Dave Simms already?
No, I didn't say
that. Well, that I heard.
I mean, Eddie is just,
man, you are just
firing from the hip today.
Yes, it's amazing. Maybe we should talk to the architect and make sure John's okay.
He's fine. He's got a cold. This sounds like his voice is messed up.
He had very good energy on a lot of the calls, but I mean, you can tell he's not 100%.
Sound like Moose on Saturday.
At the Lyric Lounge?
Yes, at the Lyric Lounge.
Is that true?
That is.
Moose didn't feel well?
I don't know if he felt well, but he just sounded like he was congested.
Hmm. People get colds. Happens to us. John's going to be fine.
Yeah, but we're not 86.
I know we're not 86. John's going to be fine. A cold is not going to kill John. He's going to be okay.
But according to Eddie, a flight will?
I guess the flight-cold combo, Eddie believes might be a lethal combination. I don't believe that. I think he'll be fine.
Okay.
You know, fall asleep on the plane, you watch a little movie, such like Hello Dolly or something, all the things that he likes, and he'll be perfectly fine.
How about more of John as I bring you our thriving player of the game?
Hudson deals, swung on and hit in the air to left field and deep. That ball is high, that is far, that is gone. It's a grand slam.
And for one, Anthony Volpe, and that is our Yankees thriving player of the game, brought to you by Thrivewell, New York's premier infusion and injection center, saving lives drip by drip. Visit thrivewellinfusion.com.
For a grand slam in your pants, use Junk Bomb.
Here was Gleyber Torres on, yes, the Volpe Grand Slam. Absolutely huge.
Feels good. Feels amazing. I mean, he's been doing all the position. He's been doing amazing. And, I mean, we really believe he's capable to do that in that type of situation.
Yeah, for
sure.
Good
thing that Aaron Boone didn't bench him last night. 2-for-3. Double, home run, four RBIs, and three runs scored, two stolen bases.
And the double beating out the throw by Hernandez? Yes. Pretty impressive.
I mean, man, what a great baseball player, huh?
Here was Volpe. He says the grand slam, the game changer.
Yeah, I felt like, you know, it really kind of, that big hit that we've been looking for, kind of, it happened and just felt like a big exhale in the dugout and everybody could kind of, you know, play free and easy again.
And they did. That was actually
How about his play shortstop the next inning?
Yeah.
And then they would have turned a double play had Gleyber not flipped the ball way up. So he had to go get it and he almost.
Wasn't that a different play?
That was a different play. But I'm just saying, like, he made the play to get the out at second and almost got the double play.
And talk about a kid living the dream. He was on Fox Sports afterwards with Burkhart and David Ortiz and A-Rod and Jeter, and he got to go take a photo with his hero.
Come on, man. Let's do it. You deserve it after a night like this. Let's go take it.
Yes, sir.
Let's get that picture.
You my dog.
No, don't take that. We'll get Anthony. Yeah, Karen, you want to take that picture? Karen. Anthony, get down with Derek down there?
That's right.
That'll be perfect.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, I saw the picture, and you know, he's covered in dirt, and Jeter's there all coiffed from TV, and it's just if that isn't framed in the Volpe house, I don't know what will be. It's really, really a great picture.
And then in terms of the play down right field, here was John and Susan as it was happening, and they were looking at replay.
So Betts went right into the corner in the wall. Let's look, Susan.
Well, he's got the ball, and a fan took it right out of his glove. You can see it. He's got his glove in his hand. The fan in a Yankee uniform is prying the ball out of Mookie's glove. This guy should be kicked out of this game.
I couldn't agree more.
Oh, my goodness.
Here was Freddie Freeman asked about it afterwards.
Freddie, what did you make out of the incident with Mookie and the fans down the side, the right field line there?
I know Mookie caught it. That's all I care about.
And that's it. So we move on to game 5 tonight, and you will have Garrett Cole taking on Jack Flaherty.
The other guy grabs his other arm, his right hand, like as to pull him into the stands.
Like he was pulling a tuna into a boat.
Exactly.
So all the action on the fan. Are they going to be live at the stadium again? Yeah, Evan and Tiki, I guess
I would
so,
think
right?
So, 7:25,
and then we'll have the pregame and then first pitch at 8:08.
Somehow they got seats to the game last night.
Yeah, I know. And good ones, no less.
Yeah.
And I also saw our buddy Chris Mercadante, sales Goomba, actually.
Yeah.
He was there. He was like sitting front row.
He was?
Really?
Oh, yeah. He must be doing well.
Wow. He was sitting, I didn't see.
Front row?
Yeah, I'm telling you. Let's see.
That kid, you see that kid, you see success walking around.
Mercadante?
Oh, yeah. I mean, if he's sitting in a front row, yeah, of course.
We're talking about Chris Mercadante?
Yeah, the guy you love playing golf with.
Oh, my God. This is his picture from the game last
night. Damn.
Wow, right off of third base in the front row.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Maybe that goes for on StubHub.
I wonder if that were the Zuckerman personal tickets right there. What? Or who he took to the game. I don't know. Wow. I hope it was a client.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
For a World Series. That's impressive for game 22 of a season, let alone game 3, game 4 of a World Series.
Yeah, and if you know Mercadante, it's real impressive.
You guys want to catch up with Mike and the Mad Dog these days?
Sure.
Oh, why not?
One is really just an announcement from the Barstool guys.
Assuming the Yankees hold on, we got a big guest joining us in the cave tomorrow night. Mike Francesa.
Oh! Yeah, baby!
So he's going to sit in and watch the game with them. So that's good for them, I suppose.
Oh, he's going to go there and watch the game with them?
I think so. I think that's the whole point of it. He's going to go to the Barstool Cave and watch the game. Yeah. And then with Chris Russo, he had an interesting call on Sirius XM.
Miss Molly Russo, did she ever get a new pup since she had to put Archie
down earlier? No, Mrs. Russo, she's 90. She did not get a new dog. You know, the problem is, you know, you get a 90-year-old, you get a new dog. The dog's going to outlive the mother. So you got to be careful in that situation.
Got to be careful in that spot because then all of a sudden her dog becomes your dog. You know what I mean? I don't need any other living things in the house. Got the kids out. I'm good. All I want to do is the double G. Gummies and the gambling. That's it. And maybe a triple G. Maybe gummies, gambling, golf.
There you go. Perfect. What else? The Jets play the Texans tomorrow night. Steph Diggs is done for the season. Torn ACL, as we did learn. Here was C.J. Stroud upon getting the news.
It sucks. You know, it's not easy. It's not, you know, something that I just can have a whole bunch of words for. I just hoping, you know, and just trying to just wrap my mind around, you know, what happened, but it's tough, you know.
Yeah, non-contact injury.
By the way, he is their leading receiver in terms of targets and catches. So that is a huge loss for the Texans coming into Thursday night's game.
I guess the answer is obvious, but I'll ask anyway. When you guys played on all grass, did these injuries happen? I know not as frequently, but was it shocking when someone tore an ACL back then?
No, I mean, you know, there wasn't as many, it doesn't seem like, but the athletes are a little bit different. I also know the AstroTurf that we played on was horrific, but it didn't grab like this stuff does. And really what it comes down to, I think it's the shoes they wear. I really do. I think that there's something about the shoes that they wear on this turf that leads to all of these lower leg injuries without any contact.
We will hear from Brian Daboll next hour. He was asked about the punt, no penalty. We'll give you his reaction to that next hour. Capitals beat the Rangers 5-2. Ducks beat the Islanders 3-1. Islanders in Columbus tonight, and the Devils visit Vancouver.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. 10 minutes from now, Phil Sims joins us with the Sims Spotlight. Want to get some more Yankee calls in before we get to Phil and talk some football? I do it. A couple of 2-6 football teams here in New York. That Sims Spotlight's going to be more about the Kansas City Chiefs and Baltimore Ravens as we go throughout the season. Oh my gosh, but we love talking about Phil. Or I love talking about football with Phil.
Phil.
Let's go to Frank in New Jersey. What's going on, Frank?
Hey, good morning, Gio and Boomer. Thanks for taking my call. Listen, you know, I'm a big Yankee fan, been so forever. I have a different take on that play down the right field line last night. Yes, the fans do have the right to go after a ball once it crosses that barrier. But with those guys were over the extreme. I mean, you know, the one guy's literally grabbing his glove, trying to pull his glove off of his arm. And then the other guy comes around and grabs his throwing arm and is pulling on it. Boomer, you're a football player. What if you're reaching, going into the stands with your arms and a play? You're going to be concerned about getting injured by this guy. Clearly, Mookie Betts could have been injured by what these guys did. It was an assault. If it happened on 161st in Amsterdam, Daily News today would be showing two cops arresting two guys for a robbery. I don't think I'm taking it to an extreme, but that's just the blatant truth about it. I know they were thrown out of the game. Hopefully they won't be allowed back into the stadium today. But it went to the extreme. They were wrong. And then they tried to justify it when the people came over. The guys, oh, well, what about this? What about this? Totally wrong.
No, all right, listen, Frank, I mean, I don't know what you're paying attention to in the news, but there's no way that you can equate this to things that go on out in the streets and who's getting arrested and who's being out on bail reform and all of these stuff. We got to stop doing this. That's two callers now who have compared this to assault. And if this happened out in the streets, I'd be arrested.
No, they wouldn't.
What are you, crazy?
There's a million assaults that go on and they don't get arrested. Hey, but by the way, let me just say something. As the former athlete, as he pointed out, yes, I understand. But here's the thing. I appreciated what both Freddie Freeman and Mookie Betts both said after the game was over. They didn't want to make a big deal out of it. They didn't want to talk about it. I'm sure that Mookie Betts, you know, got his words in that he needed to get in the moment to those two guys. Did they look like jackasses? 100% they did. Did they get removed from the stadium? 100% they did. Will they be allowed back in tonight if they have tickets to go back in? Yes, they will. Unfortunately, if you're one of those people that think they should be banned for life. So I actually was initially annoyed by the whole thing when it started. But then as I was reading along X and watching all the stuff coming out about what they looked like and what the whole situation looked like, I actually started to enjoy it. And then, like I said, like after I heard what Mookie and Freddie said after the game, I get it.
Yeah.
I understand. You're annoyed 100%, but it's not like what you're making it out to be.
If you've gone to any professional sports event in the last 5 years, whether it's here, Philadelphia, you know, any Boston, any Northeast crazy sports-filled town, and you see the people that go to these games, the amount of alcohol that they drink, the things that are said, the fights that we see on social media, it's just like things like this happen. And it's not right. They shouldn't have done it. They got punished for it. But as I've said probably four or five times today, if you have grown up in this area and you know Yankee fans and you've gone to Yankee games and you don't watch that last night with the stereotypical Italian Goomba Yankee fan and see him do that and you don't laugh just a little bit because it's just so perfect. As I said, you ask ChatGPT, make Goomba Yankee fan. It'll spit out that Austin Capobianco. He's perfect. You go to a police sketch artist, say, just off the top of your head, sketch me Goomba Yankee fan. He doesn't even have to see this guy. He does it. I mean, we've got a guy who looks exactly like that working with us and Sean Marash. They're out there. They exist. And, I mean, it's just perfect. They're crazed New York sports fans. And, oh, by the way, all of us are. Now, we don't take it that far. We haven't. I wouldn't do the same thing. But, like, there are probably 100,000 Austin Capobiancos that are listening to us right now.
And the way you said it, that they had planned something like this if it had ever happened, because obviously it's happened where they're sitting before.
Yeah.
And maybe they didn't get involved. But now they do get involved. The thing that I know is so bothersome to so many people, because it does bother me, I have to admit, is when he goes to open, pry the glove open with his two hands, and the hockey player and him comes out, and he opens it up like this, and grabs the ball out of there. I mean, that guy is insane.
He is insane. Very, very quickly, Brian in Rochester. What's going on, Brian?
Hey, guys. Yesterday you mentioned Ken Rosenthal looks like Bruce Springsteen from the side.
Yeah.
I couldn't stop staring at him last night, and then I got he's a love child between Bruce Springsteen and Pee Wee Herman. It's freaky. The guy is like, man, I just couldn't stop looking at him. They kept showing him, and I'm like, that is definitely Bruce Springsteen and a Pee Wee Herman combination. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if he's related to both of them. And you know, the other thing I wanted to say is, as a Mets fan, Yankee fans now know how Mets fans felt when Freddie Freeman played for the Braves and used to destroy us all the time. You know, I love Freeman, but I hate him at the same time. I mean, what he's done is just truly amazing.
I mean, yeah, he's like Chipper Jones. I mean, and there like was a respect there in the end between Chipper and the Mets fans. He named his daughter Shay and all of these things. I mean, it's the same thing. Like, you hate a guy like Freddie Freeman because of what he does to your team, but you can't dislike the man. It's impossible.
Kind of like Michael Jordan with the Knicks.
It's like you can't dislike the man. Well, I guess. I mean, you appreciate Michael Jordan's greatness, but Michael Jordan was not like...
But I have to say, like, I respect Sidney Crosby. Man, I can't stand that guy. when he's playing against the Rangers. Same thing with Ovechkin.
He's a little dirty, though. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, like, same thing with Ovechkin.
Freddie Freeman's not. Like, Freddie Freeman's, like, they could make a Hallmark movie about Freddie Freeman.
You're probably right. He's got that Buzz haircut, that Marine haircut and everything.
Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.